Chapter 4. D for Decisions. In life, the decisions we make generally fall into two categories: black and white decisions, where right and wrong choices are clearly defined, and those often pivotal decisions, where all choices seem equally valid. In this article, we address both of these and consider ways in which we, as disciples of Christ, might tackle them. Black and white. More than any generation that has gone before us, we are daily bombarded with messages from the TV and media that entice us to enjoy all the temptations the world has to offer. To do what feels good, what we deem to be right, and to choose whatever will bring us the most happiness and success. Thankfully, we have a much more detailed guide to right and wrong. The Bible clearly defines God's standards, from the Ten Commandments to the fruit of the Spirit, from the wise words of Proverbs to the letters to the seven ecclesias in Revelation. The question we must ask ourselves is, do we spend more time reading and thinking about God's standards or the world's? Each time we read the scriptures, we feed our minds with sound advice and internalize more of what God says about right and wrong. As a result, our consciences are strengthened against what the world says so that we are increasingly able to stand up for what we know to be right. On the other side, if we spend more time watching and reading about the world's standards than we do absorbing God's word, we should not be surprised if the lines between black and white begin to blur. To take two extreme examples, the world tells us that promiscuity is acceptable. Just do what is best for you, what makes you happy. But the Bible tells us the complete opposite. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. Drunkenness may not be seen as a problem, but Proverbs tells us, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." Chapter 20, verse 1. In Galatians, we read that the works of the flesh include both sexual immorality and drunkenness, and that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Chapter 5, verses 19 and 21. It can be so difficult to do the right thing when those around us are choosing otherwise. But far worse than blindly doing the wrong thing could be knowingly to do that. Dealing with temptation. And this is where things get difficult. Sometimes, choosing to do the right thing is easy. Our friends eat our last Rolo when we're not looking, and we choose to laugh about it, rather than fly into a fit of rage. Someone cuts in front of us at the checkout, and we wisely choose not to wrestle them to the ground. But what if we want to do the wrong thing? What if it's appealing to the flesh, and we're finding it hard to resist? When Jesus spent 40 days and nights in the wilderness, he experienced extreme amounts of temptation. Although only three specific moments of temptation are recorded for us in the Gospels, these were almost certainly not isolated events, but rather give us an insight to the constant battle that waged as the spirit was determined to obey God, but the flesh desperately wanted to satisfy its own desires. Each time, the Lord Jesus combats temptation with Scripture, taking the advice of the psalmist who wrote, "I have stored up your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you." Psalms 119, verse 11. The advice here is clear. We must diligently read God's word and allow it to take root in our hearts. I recently discovered some old proof books at our meeting room and was encouraged to start memorizing proofs again. It is surprising how little time it takes to memorize just a few verses, and yet the impact is huge. These verses are now readily available when I need to call them to mind. My challenge to readers for the coming month is to memorize one short passage a week and observe the difference it makes in your life. The subtle shift in perspective and the extra layer of armor in our fight against temptation. The power of prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, during his last hours of mental and physical agony, the Lord Jesus lovingly gave his disciples a final piece of advice: "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation." Matthew 26, verse 41. That night, Jesus knelt and prayed for God's will to be done, not his own. We too need to cast our burden on the Lord, believing that he will sustain us. Psalms 55, verse 22. Jesus understood the power of prayer, and we should never underestimate just how powerful God can work in our lives too. If only we would ask, "Whatever you ask in prayer," Jesus said, "you will receive if you have faith." Matthew 21, verse 22. Even with a wealth of sound spiritual advice as to how we should live our lives, when faced with a choice between right and wrong, the easiest choice to make is often the wrong one. It takes great faith, courage, and integrity to make the right decision, but we can be confident that there is rejoicing in heaven when we choose actively to shun temptation and pursue righteousness. No prayer for strength in the face of temptation will ever go unheard. Fear of making the wrong decision. So far, we have considered decisions that involve easily discernible, to the Bible reader at least, right and wrong choices. What then of decisions where all choices appear to be equally valid, equally right, and none would cause us or those around us to sin? Whilst these decisions don't cause us the agony of temptation, they do often paralyze us in the state of indecision or procrastination. We may be so afraid of making the wrong decision that we fail to make any decision at all. Even after making a decision, we can end up consumed with guilt or regret, or with nostalgia for what could have been. One problem here is that we assume there was a right decision in the first place. If two choices of action are equally valid, then sometimes we simply have to make a decision and be happy with it. We should, of course, do this prayerfully and with a sensible degree of care, but ultimately we need to stop procrastinating and make the decision. God knows the decisions we shall make, and they already form part of his plan for us. Whether we feel, in our flawed and short-sighted opinion, that they were good decisions or bad ones, if we are humble and prepared to learn from our mistakes, all decisions can help us grow. Identity crisis. In addition to the fear that we shall make the wrong decision, there is also the fear that the big decisions we make will change who we are. If we decide one thing, we become one person, and if we decide another, we become a different person. This is particularly acute when it comes to deciding between things like university courses and career paths, but also when choosing where to move, which ecclesia to join, who to marry, and so many other important decisions. In many cases, there may not be a clearly defined right or wrong answer, but the decision we do make will impact upon many facets of our lives. In the face of all of this, we can find reassurance that our decisions do not define who we are. God does. We have been created in his image, Genesis 1 verse 27. We are his temple, 1 Corinthians 6:19, and our lives are hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3 verse 3. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, 1 Peter 2 verse 9. We are children of God, 1 John 3 verse 2. This is who we are and who we always will be, as long as we remain faithful. Our identity in Christ should define our decisions, so how can we put this into practice? Acknowledge him. When making any decision, and that includes situations where there is no real right or wrong choice, the Word of God offers an abundance of sound advice. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, we are counseled, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." When faced with any kind of decision, we should first of all take it to God in prayer, and acknowledging that we cannot make the decision on our own because only he knows the end from the beginning. Sometimes prayerful consideration of a decision is enough, and we are able confidently to choose between one path and another. Other times, we still won't feel a pull in any particular direction. This is when we truly have to acknowledge God in all our ways. this is the time to sit down and really weigh up the pros and cons. Some things to consider for each possible path would be: 1. Will this decision bring me closer to God or push me further away? 2. Will I have enough time for God? Prayer, reading, for example. 3. Does past experience, or the experience of others, suggest one option may be better than the other? 4. Will I be able to get to the Sunday meeting and Bible class, or will I be too busy, tired, live too far away? 5. Is there anything that might cause me to have to compromise on matters of conscience? 6. What kind of people will I be spending my time with? Consider the advice of Psalm 1. 7. Are my motives godly or worldly, i.e., am I seeking to grow and to help others to grow, or am I seeking success, recognition? 8. Is there a better option with a bigger impact for my discipleship? With all of this information, hopefully the best option will become clear, but sometimes there might still seem to be no obvious answer. If a decision has to be made within a certain time frame, then sometimes all there is left to do is pray, choose, pray some more, and trust that God will guide the outcome. On the other hand, if the decision does not need to be made immediately, or even really at all, then we should consider that God's answer may be no or not yet. We might want to move to a new area, change jobs, or change ecclesia, but if the decision is proving too difficult to make, perhaps it is a decision for another time, and we should instead work hard to make the most of our current situation, learning to be content with the things which God has so richly blessed us. Seek first the kingdom. Above all, we must strive with every decision to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark 12, verse 30. And to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew 6, verse 33. Whilst we should not purposefully make bad decisions, if we can truly say that we have put God first, we need not worry disproportionately about the potential consequences of a decision, financial hardship, losing friends, receiving unjust blame or disapproval. If we focus on the righteousness of God and seek to be like him, living today as if we were already in the kingdom and fixing our eyes on that future hope, then God will grant us all that we need. Questions and suggestions. 1. Can you think of a time when you used society's compromising standards of do what feels right and look out for number one to make a decision? What was the result? What did you learn from that experience? 2. Are there times when you want to do the wrong thing, times when temptation is strong? Find relevant and helpful passages of scripture to memorize and prepare your mind and heart for battle. 3. Is there a decision you are putting off because you are afraid of making the wrong decision? Now is the time to take action.